The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we have another hour to go. I know you were disappointed. You were hoping maybe to see a basketball game, but one more hour of us as we go back to the calls here. Mrs. Smith in Georgia, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Paul, I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to your show now on the regular for about 2 or 3 months, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you very much.
But I believe it was on Monday. You had a lady call in, her name was Miriam, and she made a comment that I didn't agree with, and you didn't say much about it. You just kind of glanced over it.
But okay.
She made a point that she felt that the players who receive the NIL money should share, that they can't do it alone. It's the other players who helped them out, and she felt they should, you know, give the other players a share. Do you remember that conversation?
I do remember that, and I probably should have said more, but I didn't. I think it's about the individual. It's not about the team.
Yeah, and I just kind of thought all these years the players have been playing for scholarships, sure, but we never asked any coaches to share with the players, and if it wasn't for the players, you know, they wouldn't make their millions, and we've never asked the institutions to share their billions that they made from these young men. So I just thought that was
and you know
statement.
Something. There are some mechanisms that share certain money equitably, but ultimately, name, image, and likeness is about the individual. It's not about the collective team. So I should have said more, but sometimes, in all candor, Mrs. Smith, I tend to get easily distracted on this show.
Yeah, and one other thing I wanted to ask you about is I think the transfer portal is a lot of talk today about the transfer portal and how it's affecting the game and the schools and the teams. And I really think in the long run that the players themselves will kind of stop doing that, because I feel that this transfer portal is going to send them on not being as well developed as they could have been had they stayed in the program and got developed. They're going to be, you know, kind of piecemeal going from this place to that place.
Yeah,
when
right.
It's time to get drafted or get into the NFL, they won't have this necessary skill set. So I think eventually they'll catch on and they will stop going from place to place, because it's going to hurt them in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for the call. You go to a program and you develop your skills and hope to matriculate. And, you know, I hate to keep picking on JT Daniels. He's heading for his fourth school. That's on him. He was a five-star athlete coming out of college, and he's bounced around. And ultimately, I think he's going to pay for it in the end. Tommy is up next. Good afternoon, Tommy.
Paul, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are you?
I have a problem with one thing, man. I noticed this year, man, that you rolled Nick Saban pretty hard, man. And I just want to know what you don't like about Nick Saban, man. What have Nick Saban done to you? You know, I just want to know that. Answer that question for me.
Well, Tommy, first of all, Nick Saban has never done anything to me. He's always treated me extremely fairly, and I've thoroughly enjoyed my relationship with him since he arrived in January of 2007. I knew him before then, and I don't see him as often as I did when I was living down the road, but I still see him. I have nothing against Nick Saban, but what I've done this year is simply give opinions on what we are all seeing with Alabama, and some of that has been critical.
Paul, nobody defend the SEC, no commentator, but you're the worst commentator when it comes to anything pertaining to Alabama. It's never anything good. You say the dynasty is over. Two lost Alabama team and the dynasty is over, Paul. Is that what you're saying to me? Is the standard that high in Alabama to where
Tommy, I don't want to play tit for tat here, but my comments were the window of the dynasty is closing, not the dynasty is over. And I ask you this question. Alabama obviously will not win the title this year. So over the last 5 years, they will have one title. Does one title over 5 years constitute a dynasty?
Paul, I'm asking you, how is Kirby the new successor of the SEC when Kirby is nowhere near what Nick Saban has accomplished? It's going
I have never said that.
Nick Saban down. It's going to take a long time, Paul.
What's going to take for all?
Defend the SEC when you're on air, Paul. You defend the SEC. Do that for me, Paul. And I'm not talking about Alabama. I'm talking about the SEC.
Well, Tommy,
Paul.
I feel like I do, but you know, I have two different constituencies when I'm doing my job. One is here, obviously, and this show is seen on the SEC network, but if I, like Monday, for example, when I'm on with Stephen A., my job is to share opinions about what I see, not to wave a flag for the conference. I think my record on the SEC is pretty exemplary, if I could critique myself. If anything, I've been hounded by media across the country for being a complete and total shill for the SEC, and in particular, Alabama. You are aware of that, aren't you?
I'm aware of that, Paul, but let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If America aware of the fact that the SEC beats up on each other, and only somebody that can beat the SEC is the SEC, Paul, they sit up and talk about strength of schedule, and they sit up and talk about how we, you know, has a weak schedule because we played Ole Miss, we have a weak schedule because we lost to LSU. But you're not understanding, Paul, week to week, Paul, we beating each other.
Well, no, Tommy, I don't mean to be disagreeable here, but for 14 weeks, I went to a different campus every week. I feel like I'm relatively cognizant of what's going on in the league. I think this was a good year for the SEC, but I don't think it was as difficult to get through the SEC this year as maybe some other years, because I mean there were some pretty weak teams.
Paul, you're saying they weak. But I'll take South Carolina right now and play TCU, Paul. But you say the SEC is weak, but
Tommy, I think you're distorting some of the things I'm saying. I said there were some teams in the SEC this year that were weak. I didn't say it was a weak league. I mean, it's not in dispute that the SEC has the best conference. I've been arguing that. I wrote a book about that a couple of years ago. I'm aware of that. But I think I can't believe I'm about to say what I'm about to say, but the Big 12 was pretty good this year. They had a better record against Power Five schools than the SEC did.
Come on, Paul. You're talking about Tennessee, man. I'm a big Alabama fan. But you're talking about Georgia. Georgia quarterback not even, you know, they just now getting looked at for the Heisman. I think that people try to say they're tired of Alabama. I think they're just tired of the SEC. I see a lot of these guys on TV, Joy Galloway, all these guys, they're big advocates for the schools they play for, Kirk Herbstreit, whatever. I see.
Okay,
Tommy,
let me ask you this. You're being critical of two guys for being for waving the flags for Ohio State, but you're criticizing me for trying to be objective about college football.
Hey, Paul, I'm just gonna say this, man. I don't know what Nick Saban done to you, man, but I hope y'all fix y'all relationship. And I don't know what the SEC done to you, but at the end of the day, Paul, the SEC is the strongest conference in the nation.
Well, Tommy, let me tell you what the SEC has done for me. It's given me the greatest opportunity of my life to be on this program and on this network. That's what it's done for me. JK is up next.
Hey, happy Wednesday, Charles Allen Head. Best of luck. Hey, Paul. Let me tell Tommy what Nick Saban has done to him. You have been bamboozled, hoodwinked, and run amok. You've been tricked by Nick Saban. That's what's wrong with Mr. Tommy. And let me tell Tommy something else. The SEC just don't beat up on the SEC. I think ULM beat up on Nick Saban, which is in the SEC. I think Appalachian State beat up on an SEC team. So it's not just the SEC. He's still a little punch drunk, drunk punch, whatever phrase you want to put it in, from that announcement Sunday. Nick Saban got one of the weakest non-conference schedules in college football history this year, and he was out Sunday morning doing his best impression of Keith Sweat, begging and begging and begging to be put in a playoff that he didn't deserve to be in. So, Tommy, just give it a rest, dude, and the rest of these Bama fans, give it a rest. Paul, I call you to ask you this question, get your personal opinion. Now, they say they got 12 players in the transfer portal already. Bryce Young, Will Anderson, and Gibbs probably won't even play in the bowl game. What do you think they're going to do next year with all these players in the portal so far and those key players not coming back next year? What do they have to look forward to next year, 8-4 or 9-3?
Well, here's the deal, J.K. Alabama is, whether they say it or not, is shopping right now for a quarterback in the portal. They need one pretty badly.
Hey, Paul, you know something else. I told one of these Bama fans again in our sports group and at work, Alabama got 12 players in the portal. But you know who's going to be in the Alabama portal next? Nick Saban. I give him 1 year without making the playoffs, and that's next year. And I think he's going to tell that lie that he's not going. And 30 minutes later, you're going to see him on that tarmac, and all you're going to see is the back of the airplane up in the air.
We are coming right back with 45 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, welcome back. We are heading toward the final hour. We're in the final hour of the show, and Legend is up next.
Woo! Elvis has entered the field. I'm all sugar. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, yeah. I'm all sugar. Woo. Let me wipe my forehead with one of my Elvis scarves and throw it out into the crowd. Woo. Oh, Jim called it. Wipe some of that greatness on you for the first time in your life, boy. Wipe some of that greatness on you. Woo. Paul, you've been called a lot of things, but I'd like to recognize you today as Judge Feinbaum, if I could.
Please do.
And I'd like to bring a couple cases before the Feinbaum court today. The first Feinbaum case I'd like to bring up is Legend versus that idiot from Georgia, Darrell. And I'd like to bring to the court's attention that this moron today said I wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. Let me tell you, dude, when it comes to sports, I was born in Maryland in Baltimore, baby. I grew up with the Orioles, the Colts, the Bullets in their prime and their championship season. All you know is Buck Ballou, you idiot. That's all you know about football is Buck Ballou. How dare you talk about me? I got more knowledge in my little finger, idiot, than you got in your whole damn body. I tell you what tool in the shed I am. I'm the hammer, and I'll beat the hell out of you when it comes to sports knowledge like you're a six-penny nail. Now, I'd like to bring to the court's attention another case, and that's the Legend versus Stetson Bennett from Georgia. Also, the elf on the shelf. How dare this? How dare them send this guy to New York, Paul? It's a great story. The guy's a good guy. He seems like the normal kid down the town, whatever. But there's 40 quarterbacks, Judge Feinbaum, in college football that would be undefeated with that team. What makes that team great is in the trenches. It ain't Stetson Bennett. Bryce Young would be undefeated. Spencer Rattler would be undefeated. Kellen Williams would be undefeated. There's 40 quarterbacks in college football that would be undefeated with the Georgia Bulldogs. This guy is going to be a general manager at Burger King in 5 years and living off of his appearances in Georgia for being the new Buck Ballou. I'm so sick of all this. I'm Stetson Bennett. He's great. He's average with a great team. He's a modern-day Jay Barker, Judge Feinbaum. Now, another case I like to bring before your attention is Legend versus Augie, the walkie-talkie from New Orleans, Louisiana. He came on here yesterday talking about Kay Ivey must be ashamed about Larry and Legend. I like Kay Ivey, but let me tell you something, moron. Kay Ivey don't give a damn about Larry and Legend. There's many great, brilliant people in the state of Alabama, brother. Many great, brilliant people. You want to challenge me anytime, Augie, on this show to a debate about any topic, and I will beat your ass, boy, like you ain't never been beat before. You pick the topic, a lawyer against a former jailhouse lawyer, and I will beat your ass. I will have you convicted and put on the table and a needle stuck in your arm before the governor can call, dude. You better watch this with the Legend. Now, Paul, like as judge, I'd like you to declare all three of these situations in my favor.
The judge rules in favor of Legend.
Yeah, the corpse. Woo! Because you know Darrell's an idiot. You know Stetson Bennett is probably the 50th best quarterback in the nation. And you know that lawyer from Louisiana can't stay in the arena with me in any kind of public speaking debate or before any jury. I would beat your ass down, Augie walkie-talkie. Keep your mouth shut before I reach out to Louisiana and pimp slip the hell out of you and send you back wherever the hell you came from. Now, the final case is Legend versus J.K. Yes, J.K. Listen, J.K., it's always great when somebody representing the Puff Puff Flag Football League champion playoff team comes on and wants to talk about the University of Alabama. You of all Feinbaum callers are the most pathetic, dude. Because your only team is whoever's playing my team. I would never come on and call myself the Miami hater, the Georgia hater. You, dude, are the most pathetic Feinbaum caller of all. And, Paul, I put before the court, until this dude gets a real team, he shouldn't be allowed to speak about any other team again. I put it before the court. Can I get a ruling?
The bench rules in favor of Legend.
I'm all shook up. Whoa, 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 yeah. I'm all shook up. Woo! Let me wipe my head with another one of my Elvis scarves and throw it out into the crowd. Woo! Yeah, squirrel caught it. Wrap your pecans up and down, you moron, rodent. I love you, Paul. Elvis has left the building.
Cat Daddy is next.
Well, Ms. Feinbaum, I have heard the biggest jerk in the world with religion. And I don't know why you continue to support him, but he is the worst caller I have ever heard. And if you continue to have that moron on every night, I'd like to do double time with him. Because he's an Alabama fan, he's getting his butt kicked, and he can't stand it. And to compare himself to Elvis is a tragedy. God bless you. Have a great Christmas.
Okay, we will calm it down right here. 30 minutes remaining. Please, please do not leave us. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, let's continue with Barry in Virginia. Hello, Barry. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I got a question for you. You had Commissioner Sankey on Friday.
Yes.
You didn't ask him about Jeremy Pruitt. Was that discussed off camera and it was off limits? Or you usually do a pretty good job interviewing them when you get them when you're on your show. I was just curious why that didn't come up.
Well, thank you for that. Here's why. Number one, I knew what the answer would be. If I had asked him about the possibility of Jeremy Pruitt returning to college football or in the SEC, his answer would have been, I can't comment on an active NCAA case. And that's where it is right now. Jeremy Pruitt, I don't believe, is in play. And nor do I think he's going to be coming back into coaching until that case is adjudicated.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a good question. I've asked the commissioner many times in the past about Hugh Freeze, but it's just not a question that is relevant to today because of the situation. And I know a lot of Alabama fans would like to see Jeremy Pruitt, but I don't think he's going to be available. Now, that could change. But as long as that case is being discussed by the NCAA in Tennessee, and they may, we may be close to a resolution. I hope so, for Tennessee's sake. Let's move along and talk to Owen next in Georgia. Hello, Owen.
Hello, Paul. Actually, I met you in Athens a few months ago when we played Tennessee with my sister and dad. I'm not sure if you remember that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad to have met you.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to talk about all the Alabama players transferring, and if you think that it's going to affect their bowl game. and the upcoming season, and if you think that Alabama can replace all the people that they lost.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key, Owen, is the, you know, who did they lose? They lost a couple of key players, but mostly they lost reserves. And it could affect the bowl game because of this reason. We don't know who else is going to opt out of the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see a significant number, and there's a tug of war going on. 3 years ago, it did not happen. Now, there's a theory out there. Yeah. Why didn't it happen? Because a lot of players, for good reason, want to stay on the good side of Nick Saban. And Nick Saban is the most influential person in the game when it comes to the NFL draft. Every GM is going to call Coach Saban. And I mean, I'm thinking if you know, I can't remember who the player was that I was most surprised by, but most of the top players stayed the course. And I'm not saying Coach Saban would not support them, but I think he'd be pretty disappointed. So the two players that is not applicable to would be Bryce Young and Will Anderson. Nick Saban is not mm-hmm. going to affect their draft stock at all. They're going to be top two or three players. So I think next week we'll start to get a very clear idea. And if that number is large, then you have to wonder exactly how competitive that game will be. Just don't know. Hey, appreciate you saying hello to me a couple weeks ago. Thanks so much. Chris is up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thanks, Chris.
I've been listening to you for about 20 years, but this is my first time calling.
Thank you.
But interestingly, you piqued my interest earlier when you were talking about coaches that may have left their alma mater to coach at another school.
Right.
And you hinted at one, but I wasn't sure who you were hinting at that had left their alma mater. But I remember, I'll date myself a little bit here, but Bill Curry left Georgia Tech to coach at Alabama.
I have to admit, Chris, that was one of the most obvious names in my career because of – and I was thinking I have to give it to you. I was thinking of Spurrier leaving to go to the Redskins. I completely forgot about Bill, and that should have been one of the, because I covered the story in real time as a reporter. I cannot believe I missed that. Someone also suggested that Ken Hatfield left Arkansas to go to Clemson, which I did not remember. But I mean, I do remember him leaving. But you have hit the lottery on that. I'm embarrassed that I did not remember. One of the biggest stories I covered as a moderately young reporter.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it came to me because he's until recently, I guess he's very active on Twitter, and so it was kind of presently.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because I've gotten to Coach Curry and I had a very bizarre relationship when he was at Alabama, and afterwards, and we met a couple of years ago. I was at an event hosting it and in Atlanta, and we ran into each other and had a great conversation, and we talked a number of times since. And he's one of the most interesting people I've ever covered, and I do not know how I forgot that, because not only was that a big deal that he left his alma mater, there was a lot of bad blood from the 60s that carried over. He was hired in 87. The idea of Alabama hiring a Georgia Tech coach, really, many Alabama fans never accepted that.
Yeah, I think he was treated pretty poorly, but yeah, I just thought I'd bring that up, and thanks for the call, Paul.
I'm glad you did, and it's an interesting topic, I think we've come up with a couple, but how I missed that one, I'll never know. I'm sure there were others. We just lost Vince Dewey. We almost had a coach returning to his alma mater. That didn't happen, and that has happened obviously a number of times. But Bill Curry would. That was a high. But remember 1987. A lot of you obviously do not remember because you weren't alive. Bill Curry got that job, and I'll let this one marinate for a minute. Who was the favorite to get that job, and Alabama turned him down? and they thought he was too old. I'll answer my own question. Who is Bobby Bowden? Alabama said, a trustee told me the night that Bill Curry was hired, the night before Bill Curry was hired, that they backed away from Bowden. They thought he was too old. Bobby Bowden, from that moment on, for the next 15 years, won two national championships and never finished outside the top four. But Alabama thought he was too old. That is something. Todd is in Alabama. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, buddy. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I've been listening to all these phone calls from the Georgia people wanting to tell us how bad we are or how we some sucky fans. But, Paul, can I say this? There's one good Georgia fan that I really like, and that's Miss Ellie. You had her on right after y'all Georgia won the national championship.
Oh, yeah,
really
Elle Duncan.
Like
she's crazy.
Yeah, she's great, Paul. But I'm going to tell the rest of the Georgia fans, we're not good at sucking. Y'all are, so get over it. We're just learning how. Thank you, Paul. Y'all have a great day.
Have I ever seen that on a billboard, we're not good?
We're running to suck.
Alice is up next. Hello, Alice.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I was raised in the South. I'm in Michigan now due to a job. But I also play competitive sports for at least probably half my life. Played team sports, soccer, played on a women's professional football team, played basketball, and I played tennis in college. And I've been listening to the conversations for weeks now, talking about, you know, various coaches that, like you commented earlier, you know, Lane Kiffin really blew that game. And I just want to provide some pushback because I'm really confused about this, what appears to be some type of protection order against the players. When I played and I lost, whether it was on a football field, a soccer field, or a tennis court, you know, my coach didn't take responsibility for my loss and what I did wrong. And Tom Brady, when the professionals, when they lose, you know, the coach talks, and then the players will talk about, you know, well, I did this wrong. And that's what I don't understand. In the conversations that I'm hearing regarding college football, where is there ever going to be, you know, some responsibility on the players since they're the ones out there executing the plays? They're the ones that, you know, are committing penalties or, you know, making mistakes or doing the good things. You know, it's like when they do well and win, they all, oh, it was a good game, and you know, some of that play calling was pretty good, a couple questions I had there. But, you know, I understand discipline. And I listened to the whole book about Saban, you know, the book that was just recently put out by Talkie, and the process and everything that goes into that program, as well as many others. And I just don't understand why they take the brunt of everything when the players are the ones that, you know, make the plays or don't make the plays.
Alice, first of all, thank you very much for your point and your background is exemplary. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.